Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome in third hour, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexrode here with David Beauclair of SA.com. In for Robbie, Michelle Knezovic, and very happy to bring in our next guest. He is a former Nashvillian, formerly on the Titans beat, now doing awesome work with NFL Network, Cameron Wolf. Cameron, how are you doing, my friend?
Awesome, Joe. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. Getting ready for, we're calling it Super. Is it Super Wild Card Weekend? Is that right? That's the proper way to say it.
I guess so. Yeah, Wild Card Weekend is about right.
So, what are
NFL
you?
Would love that.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. So, what are you most looking forward to? If you had to pick one of these games, Cam, that really gets you excited, which one is it?
Ooh, one of the games. I'm very interested to see what happens in that Cardinals-Rams game this weekend. I think that's probably the closest matchup that we have all weekend. I think a lot of the matchups could be blowouts. I mean, on the NFC side, really, both of those wildcard games, the Cardinals-Rams and 49ers-Cowboys, I could see upsets in both of those games. And usually wildcard weekend, the upsets are what drives it. So those are probably the two games I'm circling, starting with Cardinals Rams, seeing what happens.
Yeah, I mean that's Stafford. I mean, look, I love the move. I think it was a good move.
Yeah,
to go on from Goff to Stafford. But I mean, now it's like, you know, now we see, right? I mean, that's what this is about.
Right.
And boy, it's right from the start. It is an absolute toss up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the Rams, they've gone all in. You know, they go trade for Odell. They go trade for Vaughn. They made the trade for Stafford. This is a team that believes they're a championship team. So if they lose in the first round, that's going to shake up a lot of leagues because somebody's going to have to answer for it. I think that Stafford has been an upgrade over Goff, but he's also thrown a lot of picks, a lot of pick sixes at the wrong time. And although the Cardinals team, I think they've been trending the wrong direction over the second half of the year, I think all you need is a special day from Kyler, a special day from that defense. It's been really good throughout the year, and I think the Cardinals can get them.
Yeah, I mean, well, we saw the Titans a few days after losing Derrick Henry go in there, and you get Jeffrey Simmons coming up the middle. All of a sudden, Stafford did not look like the same guy. Cam, you've seen the Titans quite a bit. You've been here quite a bit this year. How would you put it in perspective what they've done? And how do you feel about their chances now to capitalize on this, you know, somewhat surprising one seed?
They've been the most impressive team I've seen in person, given all they've overcome. And I try to put it in context when I'm on TV because, honestly, Joe, there's not a lot of buzz around the Titans because of the market they're in, because there's not, like, the quarterback superstar, and especially since Derek's been hurt. There hasn't been the eyeballs that maybe they deserve, but I think I've been to maybe five or six games this year, and every game I come out thinking, okay, this is when they're going to get exposed. And was there for Kansas City, there for Buffalo. They win both of those games. Came back to San Fran game when they're down all these players, and I'm like, all right, the 49ers are going to beat them up. That's not how it happened. So I've seen enough from this Titans team to know that whatever they're thrown, they're going to be able to overcome it. And now that Derek's back, I think that this team – it's very scary, and in fact, I think they're going to come out of the AFC.
So what have you seen specifically, I mean, or consistently? Is there one thing that each time you've shown up, you're like, oh, yeah, there's that again. That's what sets these guys apart.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a defense for me because I've watched this team for two or three years, and the defense has seemed to be always the Achilles heel, you know, particularly how they do pass coverage and how they get pressure on the quarterback. And I look at how they built that defensive front with Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons, along with Danico Autry and Bud Dupree. And I think John Robinson and his team finally got it right, getting the front seven that can stop the run and rush the quarterback. And I think that's what you need to be able to compete with these top-tier teams. You know, going back to the game earlier this year against Buffalo, it's Jeffrey Simmons who makes that stop on that fourth down to get them to clinch that game. We've seen him take over games. We've seen Harold Landry go on runs with sacks. So I think this team is not no longer like Derrick Henry has to go off for 200 yards for us to win a game. They can win a game from a strong defensive performance and their offense just kind of being mediocre. So for me, that's what makes this Titans team different than maybe previous years and why I think that they got a real chance to make some noise in the playoffs.
So, Cam, your last year on the beat here was 17, right? It was Malarkey's swan song. What did you think at the time of that? Because I mean, I remember personally kind of being a little bit befuddled that a guy who had been a big part of them turning things around so dramatically over two seasons and then winning a playoff game on the road would get fired. I'm just curious, like, what you thought of it at the time and the move to bring in Vrabel, and I guess do you look at it any differently now? I know I do. I mean, I think most people around here do.
Oh, yeah, Joe, I'm with you. I was shocked. It's funny because I'm here in Miami, so Brian Flores got fired this week. I started looking back, like, when's the most shocking firing since then? And to me, it was the Mike Malarkey firing because I've never seen a coach fired after a playoff win. And it seemed like I remember that year. Every year it was like, a report came out before the game in week 16 that if he doesn't win, he's going to get fired. And then it was week 17, and he wins. And then it was the playoff game, and then he wins. And he ends up getting fired anyway. So it seemed like their mind was set up. So, that was shocking to me, especially because that team seemed to be the tough, physical, fighting through adversity team that you always talk about. But, boy, they got it right. I think a lot of it, John Robinson wanted his own guy. And kind of seeing how aligned they are in vision, John and Mike on the type of players they want, the type of ways they want to build. I think Mike really has very little concern about being in personnel, and I think that's he lets John do his job. He focuses on doing his job, and I think that's a huge dynamic here because there's a lot of coaches who want to do the GM job and the coach job, and that's when you get a disconnect with a lot of the front office and the coaching staff. So I think it's worked out perfectly. Vrabel has been a seamless transition. And I think that the guys respect him. He's played, but he also doesn't like throw the playing element of his game around. Like it gives him some sort of onus to not doing the work. So I think that it's worked out perfectly for him. But I can't tell you that I thought that 3 or 4 years ago.
Since you mentioned Miami, we've got to bring up Ryan Tannehill too, and a guy who clearly has been instrumental in the Titans' development over the last couple of years. How much do you trust Ryan Tannehill? If we've seen him do it in the regular season, do you trust him in the playoffs to deliver a victory if need be late in the game?
Yeah, that's the big question. I'm still on the line with Ryan Tannehill as far as my trust level. I don't trust him to win a game by itself. I just don't think that's the best use of a skill set. We've seen at times this year when Derek hasn't been on and when AJ and Julio have been out, and it hasn't looked great. So I don't think you want Ryan Tannehill carrying the load, throwing the ball 40 to 50 times. But if you give him one drive late in the game where you really need him to have some shifty plays to get a drive, I don't see why he can't do it. He's done it before. I've seen him kind of, whether it's a big run on a third down or making a key throw, I can see him making the selective key plays at the right time to get you a win. So if it's one drive, yeah, I trust Ryan Tannehill. If it's
sorry. Yeah, keep going. Sorry about that.
Good. Yeah, if it's one drive, yeah, I trust Ryan Tannehill. The whole game on the shoulder, I'm not sure I do.
Well, sticking in Miami, Cam, you've been on that beat, and you know that organization well. I was shocked by the Flores news. I mean, I know there's been stuff that's come out that it's not just like it's a performance thing. It's a disconnect that you were just talking about, right? Or one of those disconnects. But still, was it surprising to you? And where do you think he ends up? I mean, if I'm a team with an opening right now, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be on your list.
Oh, absolutely. It was shocking to me. In fact, it was shocking to Flores. I talked to somebody close to him the day after or the day of he got fired, and they said he was up in his office doing exit meetings, not really thinking that firing was a possibility after winning 8 of your last 9 games, and then comes the call. I think you look at this situation, and clearly the Dolphins have their vision of why they did it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but essentially they did not feel like he interacted well with a lot of the key people in that building, and it became untenable for them. for them moving forward. It was less about wins and losses and production on the field and more about just the vibe inside the building and the vibe with people. So I don't know that I feel comfortable about firing a coach for non-football reasons unless it's something egregious, but clearly they did. I think that Flores is a really good coach. I think there is some truth about him needing to work on maybe some interpersonal skills and being able to connect a little bit better without being such a hardened personality all the time. Whether he can change that or not, I'm not sure, but I think that you're going to see him get multiple head coach interviews in this cycle. The big thing that he'll have to answer, and this is my only big football thing with him, is they had three different offensive coordinators in 3 years, four different offensive line coaches in 3 years, and that offensive line was never better than, you know, below average. So he's going to have to answer, how can I hire guys in to be able to run that side of the building? But if he has a good answer for that, then he should be a surefire head coach, because the way he got the most out of that team 3 years in a row and that defense, he was one of the better young coaches I had seen in the league going into this year.
While we're talking about coaching moves, is this the year Eric Bieniemy gets a job? And if not, who is the one guy who hasn't been a head coach that you're certain is going to get one of these jobs this year?
Man, I hope Eric Bieniemy gets one. I've seen it so many years, especially with Bieniemy, about, you know, getting interviews but not getting jobs, especially on a minority side of things. With the new Rooney Rule changes, there's two different interviews that you have to have with minority candidates outside of the organization. So I'm a little worried that you're going to see a lot of these guys get interviews but not get jobs. But Bieniemy certainly deserves to get one. I think Byron Leftwich is a guy that has been coming up the last few years who I think has a good chance to get one. I wouldn't be surprised if Jacksonville goes ahead and hires him. He played there growing up. But as far as guys who've been waiting a long time, I think you look at some of the older guys and they get kind of discriminated against. We always talk about minority discrimination, but guys who are older get discriminated against because they're not the young, fancy hire. A guy like a Leslie Frazier, who's been, you know, doing great things up in Buffalo, he's a guy who I think deserves the opportunity. Wink Martindale down in Baltimore, he's a guy who has been doing really good things. Maybe the Giants look at him. So to me, those are some of the names, maybe not the hot young candidates, but some of the guys who've been longtime assistants who really deserve a shot to see if they can do it on the head coach brand.
It's going to be fascinating, and so will Super Wild Card Weekend. Cameron Wolf has been our guest, doing great work at NFL Network. Great talking to you, my friend, and hopefully we'll see you coming up here in the near future.
I think there's a very good chance I'll see you guys in Nashville.
Sounds good. Coming back home. All right.
Guys.
Cam Wolf, thanks so much. We come back on Robbie and Rex Show. We're gonna come. We'll react a little bit to what Cameron Wolf said. There's a national media person picking the Titans for the Super Bowl. Uh-oh. Maybe a little national respect for the Titans. I know Titans fans are very interested in that. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And if you'd like a pair of tickets to WWE Friday Night SmackDown at Bridgestone Arena, that's Friday, January 21st, a week from tomorrow. Be the third caller now, 615-737-1025. Welcome back in. We just talked to Cam Wolf. Look. Okay, I got to tell you, David, I have absolutely I'm so sorry for you, for those of you on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've just neglected you all day. Robbie is just, frankly, just much better than me at handling all these things.
I would have.
A double mute. You got me 3-0.
I missed there. I would have given you love, text line people, but my phone is not
does not get text.
I'm not an official part of the system here.
Well, I'm gonna rip through a few on various topics. One, several people were jumping on us about, we're talking about the cities that have had great runs. Tampa Bay, of course. We should have mentioned that right now.
They're in the midst of one.
Yeah, they're in the midst of one right now. Champa Bay all day. And you know what? Oh, I got to say, you know what? I deserve this, too. Tully in the Borough. When I said last major championship in the state and I went to, you know, Lady Vols, what, are we not counting college baseball?
Vanderbilt, perhaps?
I mean, and honestly, I've made the argument
It's bad on both our parts.
I've made the argument, but some people would argue. Like, some people say that's not. I disagree. I think it does count. So, yes, the last one would be Vanderbilt over Michigan, College World Series 2019. So there you go. So, yes, it's not like it's been some massive drought. But, of course, professionally, waiting for the first one. So that's where it's a good way to separate the two. Some people worried about tickets, too. Texter on the text line, not leaving a name, says people have bought up all the tickets to the divisional round for the Titans are selling for five times what they go for. I hope the Chiefs or some other team doesn't come in here and pack our house. Just feels like they're going to go into the highest bidder instead of Titans fans. Well, first of all, the Chiefs, you know, wouldn't even come here unless they can win two games, and the Titans win a game. So it's not that.
It could be Steelers fans. I mean, there's a lot of Steelers fans. I mean, if there's going to be, but I don't think that's. I mean, I think the bandwagon is filling up for the first time in a long time around here.
I agree. I think it's become
must see around here for the first time in quite a while.
Well, and you tell me. I feel like, and I know last year you can just throw out last year because last year was obviously limited attendance, but. To me, and so this is my sixth season of, you know, covering the Titans. I haven't seen anywhere close to this level of consistent attendance from Titans fans. I think this is the best year I've seen by far.
It's still nothing like, you know. It's funny because just yesterday I was driving somewhere and somebody turned in front of me and they had the Titans flags hanging out of the back windows of their car. And it kind of struck me because I thought, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen that. Back in 99 up until about probably 2005, like during football season, you'd see them everywhere. Like people were all – and then Titans kind of went into a funk. They weren't so interesting, and then all of a sudden the Predators got good. The Predators were sort of the new thing, and it finally feels like the bandwagon is filling up again with the Titans here. And I think if they win, assuming they win the divisional round, I think that week leading into the conference championship game here, you're going to see a whole nother level then again where you haven't seen it with the Titans. Because it's sort of like, you know, those first few years with the Titans, it was, you know, it was the excitement of having pro sports in town, plus the fact that they were really good. Plus, you know, there was so much going on about it. And then I feel like people sort of just took the Titans for granted for a long time. I think the Titans took their fans for granted for a long time.
Right.
It used to be like it used to be like it was a big deal around here the day in July when single game tickets went on sale, because within 3 or 4 days they'd be gone for the year, you know, and the Titans just sort of let that happen, sort of figured that was always going to be the case. And when it stopped being the case, it really stopped being the case. And there's some genuine excitement building again.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think it's taken some time, and you know, it's there's the Derrick Henry part of it. I think is a big part of it. Like, I think there's some people who just, I mean, well, first of all, I think there's a lot of Alabama/Titans fans. I feel like, you know, there's Alabama fans here. I feel like there's a pretty big crossover with that fan base. So there's that aspect of it. But I agree with you that I think that just the buy-in of the team is real. It's what you would expect. You go back to that time period, like you said, it was brand new. I know that just from a general NFL perspective, I just thought it was so cool that Nashville had a team, and also it was like, whoa, like this is like a SEC, you know, this is an SEC football crowd at an NFL game. Now, that is cool. I mean, it always seemed like it was just the wildest atmosphere.
It was loud. And I say the same thing about the Predators, and, you know, no disrespect to the atmosphere that they have at their games and whatnot, but I have never heard anything in a sports building like I heard in the playoff games the first 2 years at Bridgestone Arena. The noise level in there, and that was part of, you know, so many of those folks had been there through the growing pains, and this was their reward, the playoff series against Detroit and then the one against San Jose. And I mean, it was, you know, and I know it still gets raucous in there and all that, but there is nothing like that sort of that first experience and the joy that I saw that bring to this city back in those two instances. But there's, you know, I remember telling people in 99 and 2000, you know, having grown up in Philadelphia, you know, where the Phillies are the first, and as far as I know, still the only professional sports team ever to lose 10,000 games, right? Like, pro sports is about suffering. I mean, you know, as a, you know, having grown up with the Lions, right? Like, there's a lot of suffering that goes on. And I told people, this is not how pro sports works. And I think Nashville and Titans fans in particular have suffered for quite a while now, that if they get back to the Super Bowl this year, there will be a real sense of satisfaction that I don't think people understood back in 1999.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, when you come right in and it's like, you know, I mean, it's like Vegas, you know. Like, guess what, folks? This is not how it's going to be. Yeah. And guess what? That arena is not, they might still have the wacky, weird stuff before games, but it's not going to be, you know. Now it's all said, well, that's the standard. So just keep hitting that. And some suffering. Now, some people are smart enough to discard it, which is why I disavowed the Lions when Barry Sanders retired, and okay, my life has been better for it. But that means if they ever win the Super Bowl, which they never will, but if they ever do, I can't enjoy it. You know, that's fair. But I think that, I think for Titans, you know, there's obviously diehard Titans fans who've been here through all of this stuff. Those are the people you feel best for. But you also, I mean, this is about bandwagoning, right? I mean, you don't have these amazing atmospheres in anything if you don't have some level of bandwagon fan who's and so embrace them too.
Because the 27 Stanley Cup
place
finals.
Better.
27 Stanley Cup finals was the ultimate bandwagon experience,
and it was awesome.
I was going to say, who didn't enjoy it, right?
Exactly.
Like, was there anybody inside Bridgestone Arena saying, "God, I wish those people weren't out there"? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you weren't here all along. Get out of here. Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good question. When we come back, how about the potential for anything in Nissan Stadium coming up to resemble what we saw just down the street five years ago. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 125 Game. Real quick, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. .025 The Game, Preds Game Day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths, on the web at GoHermitage.com. And Two-Tone at 8, presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, 8 o'clock hour as we talk about the Titans. And we're talking, David Beauclair, about atmosphere. And about there's some angst on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com about the idea that people are buying these. I just don't think like you mentioned Steelers fans. You think they're confident enough to be spending big money on tickets to next? I don't think so. Maybe our friend Junie. Maybe he's buying them up because he's like sure the Steelers are going to beat the Chiefs, but I don't think it's another fan base. I think it's what you said. I think it's going to be a really good scene in that stadium. So let's do that comparison since we've talked a lot about sort of like all the Tennessee teams today. Can that place, I mean, you've covered all the home games, so you've seen how good it can be. Can that place be anything like what we saw, you know, in Bridgestone? Different sport, different dynamic with an indoor versus outdoor and all that stuff. And how much, like, does the just the Derrick Henry component add to that?
It's Willis Reed with the Knicks, isn't it? You know, coming out of the tunnel. I think, you know, you said it earlier. There's no way that in that divisional round game that the offense is not introduced, and there's no way that Derrick Henry's not the last guy out of the tunnel. I mean, it's gonna get loud in there. It's gonna get raucous. I mean, the standard for the Titans, you've probably heard the stories at some point, is the 1999 regular season game against the Rams when Fred Miller false started five times.
Right.
You know, like that's and that was and part of that was Javon Kearse was lined up opposite him, but part of it was loud and raucous, you know, two teams that were both off to good starts that year ultimately ended up playing in the Super Bowl. I mean that's sort of the standard. I don't know if you're ever going to get to that again. Certainly the Music City Miracle, the reaction to that was really loud and really exciting. That I just remember looking around the stadium and it was almost like people didn't know what to do with themselves. It was Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights, you know, like where he didn't know what to do with his hands. Like everybody's whole bodies looked like they were that way. They didn't know if they were supposed to be jumping, hugging, you know, high five. Like they were, you know, everybody was just so people were just. It was kind of like a primal scream that came out of folks that day. It'll be fun. I think it's been. Nashville's evolution as a pro sports town is sort of to the point that there's a lot of folks here now, regardless of the sport. It's like, well, let me know when the playoffs arrive. And I think the playoffs are here, and the Titans look like a team with a really good shot. So that's why I think folks are that's why I think the bandwagon is filling up and filling up fast.
So going back to Nate on the text line, driven by WilsonCounty.com, says, Nate said, I like the Titans and everything, but the relationships with season ticket holders and fans in general tell me they won't want to make the atmosphere inside or outside the stadium like the 16-17 Stanley Cup playoffs. The reason the Preds did so well, 5th and Broadway playoffs atmosphere, is because they have an amazing relationship with their fans and no one has wavered. I can't say that about the Titans. You think that's a... Do you find fairness in that?
I do.
That comment.
I do. Yeah. I don't think there's any question that the Titans, and it's not the current folks in charge over there. I think that's one thing Amy Adams Strunk has heard from the people who work for her, that hey, we need to do these sorts of things, and they are making progress. But I don't think there's any question that there was a period of time there where the Titans took their fans for granted, and part of that was the fact that they had an absentee owner who wasn't here and didn't hear the constant chatter and whatnot, and was, you know, sort of was removed in a lot of ways. I do think again if they win the divisional round game, you've got a conference championship game here. I think that'll be that'll be something new for this town.
Yeah, first
that'll
time be, ever if they can get it.
If they can, yeah, that'll get folks fired up.
See, on the whole point, I mean, I understand, and certainly the contrast is pretty clear, like when I got here, and at that time, and people were really down on the Titans. They also had a terrible team, but really down on everything. And that was just when Amy was taking over. I just from everything I've seen, I feel like they've done everything you're supposed to do to try to repair that.
The stadium experience, you still hear a lot of complaints.
Well, they still need to take steps there.
Yes.
And maybe that's also in the upgrades that are coming too.
I mean, but you know, it's you can't get in the stadium quickly. You can't, you know, the food lines don't move. You know, those are sorts of things that everybody should know how to do in 2022. That, you know, I mean, that's that there's no great trade secrets there into how to make those things work, is there? I mean, I wouldn't
have there been
imagine.
And I really don't know. Like, has it not been better in terms of getting in? I remember the opener this year that there was definitely some issues, but I haven't heard a lot of that.
I haven't
this
heard
year.
As much, but I want to say. Was it the San Francisco game? There was some grumbling.
Is that right?
Maybe I don't. It seems like I heard it again recently here.
I mean, their vendors. You know, I feel like they've upgraded there. So I mean, you know, I mean, I like stuff, a lot of things that they've done.
And to be fair, you're not going to have in a 70,000 seat open air stadium. You're not going to have the same feel as a 17,000 seat arena.
Exactly.
You know, like one thing that you'll never be able to replicate, for example, is, you know, the crowd shots during stoppages and plays right now, because the camera positions aren't close enough that you can get the close-ups of people, right? I mean, that's a little thing, but that's you know, that's one of those things. The Predators have always – I always have felt like if you're a fan at a Predators game, you're sitting there, you feel like you have a chance to be on the Jumbotron at some point, you know, and there's just no way that you can do that in a Titans game.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, no, I mean, look, it's just a more intimate setting. It just it's more packed in. It's, I mean, look, the best sports atmospheres I've ever been in are in tiny college basketball arenas, you know, where it's just the sound is inescapable. I mean, that's part of it too. One question on the text line from Ron. Good morning, guys. Coming off season, Titans will be in a dilemma with the linebackers we have in this team. Do you guys think we'll still have Brown and Evans come next year? No and no.
No and no. And I agree.
I would not call it a dilemma if you have – now, again, there's a lot of money decisions to be made, and we are going to get into that next hour. But I would not call it a dilemma to have Zach Cunningham and David Long Jr. as your starting inside linebackers, which I think will be the case next year.
See, I'm not sure Zach Cunningham either.
I'm not sure. I'm leaning that way. If not, then you're talking about David Long and Monty Rice.
Which I think Monty Rice did enough in the games he played to make you think that's a real possibility.
But, man, Zach Cunningham.
Have
you not been impressed with him?
I have been, and I was impressed with him when he played at Vanderbilt. I covered Vanderbilt a lot during his last season there when he dominated
Monster.
Games. You know, I mean, it's but are you gonna pay Zach Cunningham and pay Bud Dupree and pay Harold Landry? I mean, you can't you can't have it all. Like it.
And then, what's your offensive line look like?
Yeah, what's your offensive line look like? I mean, and. You know, this is going to be the year too. You're going to have to extend AJ Brown and or Jeffrey Simmons, right? I mean, Simmons you can wait a year because you'll have the fifth year with him. But this is probably the year where you need to extend AJ Brown. Don't let that thing linger into the season. Get it done.
Are you sure that's happening? I mean, I think it is.
I'd be like 85% sure that's happened.
That sounds about right.
The health issue is the only thing because and he has played through stuff and played incredibly well through stuff. But you wonder if the front office looks at this and starts to worry about a cumulative effect of the number of issues that he's had.
Yeah. So more thoughts on the text. I promise you guys, I will get to you. This is 2-Tone at 8, presented by Hilbert Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Talking Titans in the 8 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we're going to do Preds Pick to Click, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Rowe. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio. Before we get into Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, join 102.5 The Game this Saturday for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. Drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Boston Bruins. The Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. Puck drop is noon Saturday. A nice little noon puck drop for the Preds Bruins. But tonight it is Preds, Sabres, and Connie from Clarksville The listeners have drawn even with me at the top of this. I don't remember the scores, Michelle. I just know that I'm tied for the lead and that you're last and Robbie's somewhere in the middle. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. But Connie from Clarksville, you have a chance to win a prize pack, New Amsterdam Vodka, and also take the lead over me. Who is your choice?
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot. I'm going to go out on the limb, and I want to go with Benning. And one
Whoa.
Other thing,
I love it.
That is out on a limb.
Yes.
Yeah, and I really, really think that maybe the press needed to get the song Come Together. I just think that that song is perfectly fit for them, and I've just been feeling Benning. That's my pick. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Connie. Wait, I'm sorry. Wait, are you still there, Connie? Did you just say Come Together? She's talking Beatles, Come Together?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a jam. Don't tell Robbie, who, by the way, thinks the Beatles are god-awful. Have you heard this yet, Beau Claire?
No, I haven't heard that. I'm of the mindset that, you know, I'm a Stones over the Beatles guy, but okay. I certainly would not say
that's fine.
The Beatles are god-awful.
Joe, also thanks to Robbie, the score is listeners 9, you 9, Robbie 7, and I'm at a 3.
So do you know the order of picking? Like, Robbie knows all this stuff.
The order of picking. I'll go first since I'm in last.
That's fine. Go for it.
Okay. Matt Duchesne.
There you go. You were like, yes, I got my chance. Matt Duchesne. So is David making a pick for Robbie? Robbie just doesn't get a pick? This counts on Robbie's record. Just remember,
as you're picking for him,
remember, he said the Beatles are god-awful.
You just said their cheeks.
So if you'd like to pick, like Philip Myers or whatever, feel free.
So it's who's going to score first for the Preds tonight?
Just score.
Just score?
If they score, then you're on the board. Yep.
Colton Sissons is due.
Wow. All right. I like the underrated picks. Colton Sissons is, I'd say, much more viable than Matt Benning. If Connie gets Matt Benning,
she should get two.
I agree. If Matt Benning gets on the board, Connie should get like a super wild card weekend, super prize pack for Connie. Let's see. And by the way, do we know about Philip Forsberg?
I've heard of him. He's playing.
Seems like a nice guy. Okay, so we don't expect Philip Forsberg to be. I'm not totally up on the time.
But hey, Joe, you could pick him. You could risk it to get the biscuit.
Yeah, I could. I'm gonna go ahead and just go with the captain. I'll go with Yossi. Yeah, Yossi on the power play. Ripped one through.
A little perspective on Connie's pick here.
Okay.
Preds have 15 skaters who have played more than 31 game or more than 30 games this year, 31 or more so far this season. Matt Benning is the only one of those 15 who has no goals. So if he gets one, I'm saying right here, I'm making an executive decision. Connie gets 3 points for that.
I like that, but the thing is, see, here's the thing. I don't want to give her the points because that hurts me in this competition, and the other listeners don't deserve the benefit of that. I want her to be personally rewarded, okay?
Rex Rowe being a little selfish because he needs to win.
Okay,
we'll let you have pick to click.
Well, I mean, who knows? There's a long way to go. Long way. I mean, we're in January. You could end up winning this going away. You don't know.
You're right.
So we have another caller?
No.
Oh, okay.
Connie just called back and thought she got disconnected, and I just said, nope, you're all set. We got your pick down, and hopefully she wins so we can get her some tickets.
And she likes the Beatles, so I appreciate that. So what are we looking for tonight, David? Preds, Sabres. I always find that games like this are – I mean, I agree with what Dan Hino was saying. They're professional, consistent. They show up every day. But you know, this still could be a tough one psychologically.
So, yeah, I mean, coming off the big night with Colorado, everything that was involved in that game, the way the game went specifically to a team that you don't care about, you don't have any real hatred for, you don't have, you know, they're not particularly good. There's it's a bit of a tough spot, but I think 5 wins in a row is worth something because, you know, it'd be different if it was two wins in a row. Like, five wins is a significant number where, you know, guys feel like, let's keep this thing rolling. Let's make this happen. So I would suspect the Preds win this game handily, and then it's the game after this where they lay an egg.
Oh, okay. So you got the the delayed egg.
I think they fight through, and it's a delayed egg. Yes.
Well, that's
that'll be Boston on Saturday,
and yeah. Well, you know, which is look, I mean, that's a tough game. A little matinee in Boston. Go back in the road. I mean, there's more big games. I mean, shoot, you come back to Monday. It's a little quick little road trip, but you come back to Monday and you're at St. Louis. Which is quietly St. Louis. Been very good this year.
Oh, by
year.
The way, yeah, they're good too. That's
yeah,
right.
they're
that's pulled a good pulled team. Out a game the other. See that against Dallas?
I did not.
They're down one, scored two power play goals in the last minute. 2 points. Thank you very much. We'll see you later.
Well, that's not bad. That's no. Good work if you can get it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean just the division is. I mean, it looks like it's lining up for it's a long way to go. I mean, it's hard to start thinking about playoff pairings, but we know how the format is, and I think that the possibility of the Preds, having a tough first round opponent, but then likely being funneled then into a series with Colorado in the second round. And frankly, that's just. It's too bad. You know, I mean, it's just like 2018 where it was like, these teams cannot be meeting now. Why are these teams meeting now?
Yeah.
You know? It's an unfortunate reality of I don't like the format. But
if Colorado doesn't win this year, then when? You know, like they have built this thing. They've had a couple cracks at it. They need – this needs to be their year. They need to be thinking that way at least. I mean –
Well, they feel to me, just because of last year, and it doesn't always work out this way, but we saw it with Tampa Bay losing to Columbus, right? Like that was clearly the best team, and they responded to that. And Colorado feels like the team that now responds to last year's postseason disappointment
right.
And puts it all together. I agree. Now, are they good enough in goal?
That's a good question.
That can often... I mean, we've seen it many times where, that's just the difference, and you can be absolutely elite everywhere else, and that ends up costing you, and that's the difference, too, with Tampa Bay and Colorado, is that they do have the elite goaltender to go with everything else that they've had. But I would agree with you. Even the other night, they lost that game, and that's where, like, Preds fans should be excited about their team, the way they kept counterpunching. But when the Avalanche push down. I mean, they are something to behold. Some of the skill that they've got on that team. So, when is the next time they play? By the way, I want another one of those. Can we get that again soon? I think it's going to be a while. But tonight it's the Sabres Preds, and when we come back on Robbie and Rex, we're going to get back into the Titans and ask this question: who may be in a swan song this month for the Titans that maybe you didn't expect they would be. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.